information influences our capabilities, our opportunities, our interests, and our potential. But we are not in control of this information and are influenced by those who control it. Movement is underway to move these controls and influence to the user. What is possible when we are connected and in control? This is the quest. This is the emergence.
Welcome to the emergence, where the question is asked, what is possible when we are connected and in control? Hi, my name is J. Paul Duplantis, and I'm the host of The Emergence. And today's episode is going to focus on human potential. I'm actually standing next to a running stream here, a river, in Cottonwood, Arizona, and out here in the woods. And there's something about the flow of water that really inspires thought with me. And I thought that while I was on my little vacation here, I would find a stream and lay down an episode, possibly. We'll see how it goes. But what attracts me to the flow of water is the flow. And I really can make a connection with human potential, and the flow is I do believe that at some degree the way that we are, and historically the way that we've been, with the way that the work silos are, the way that the free market is built, is that to some degree our flow is restricted. The flow of what resides within us, there's barriers that are built, there's dams that are built, there's filters that are put in place that limit our full capabilities of what resides deep within us. So that flow is always something that attracts me, something I meditate on, and something that I believe is important. So what are the potential that would flow inside of you? Is your work, where you're working, is that really exercising that potential? Are these systems of traditional 9-to-5 and 10-hour days working for one company, is that truly exercising the breadth and the depth of our potential? Not saying that we do away with regular conventional work. I'm saying, especially as we move forward with technologies replacing a lot of our skills that we're able to provide, we do need to look for other ways to be able to beat out what technology can do for us. Beat out what technology is going to replace us is what I wanted to say. And is that? I guess the first way to do this is to define what these potentials are. What is the potential? What is the capabilities that we have? To really have a discussion about that, to have a discovery of what these are. And then, even though technology can replace us, technology can augment us. Technology can actually be our best friend if it's built right, if it's built decentralized, and if it's built more resonantly. There's a lot of technologies that could help us discover our potential and align that with providers of services and goods. I don't believe that the market is built that way. I don't think that because in the short term gains of the way that the market's built right now, is there's not a lot of tolerance for people discovering their potential, because it's about how much the provider can make, how much profit can be made. And that is the tenets of capitalism, especially what has grown to be what we see as capitalism today. I don't believe that that's what was originally intended as the free market, but it has grown to that, where shareholder value is more important than operational performance, and speculation is more important than the value of the effort provided by the provider. So there's these things to where the free market has evolved into a place to where it is constricting our potential. Our potential to be individuals, to express ourselves individually. So whether it's something that you think that's unique, so whether it's something that you can create as artwork, as music, as a skill set, maybe that's something that you do, that you have a specific skill set at labor that you're really good at and you're very passionate about and you love to do it, but there are no opportunities that you can find that really will tap into a combination of the ability of you to apply that skill as well as who you are as an individual. Will the demand of the labor listen to the potential of who you are as a person? And I can hear people arguing about that. Capitalism doesn't need to listen. You know, people need to listen to the needs of what capitalism is given us. So to be able to create furniture, you need to have laborers to build the furniture. Well, In the future, robots are going to do that. And in the next 20, 30, 40 years, less and less of that is going to be on the human and more on the automation. So then where does that leave us? Where does that leave us if we're not starting to work on these, opening up our potential to exchange within this exchange of value in a marketplace? If we don't start to open that up now, then I think that we are going to really see some ill effects of what this siloed type of market will bring in the future, when we truly are replaced, when many of the capabilities of a law office will be replaced by AI, when welding will be replaced by robots, when, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Kitchens will be replaced by artificial intelligence as well as robotic limbs preparing food and actually identifying combinations that meet with individual's palates more than possibly what an individual could do. So where does that leave humans? Well, what I believe we need to do over the next 10 years, 5 to 10 years, is truly explore where this exchange could be, where this potential could lie within ourselves, to understand that, to bring that up, to bubble that up, so that then we can start to build technology to harness that, so that we can have a true exchange of potential, of creativity, and what we are best served to do and to fulfill ourselves, not just to fulfill a profit. You know, you got to think about that. You work 8 to 10 hours a day. Some people work 12 hours a day. It's half of your life that is built to create revenue for other businesses. That's half of your life. And when you sleep a quarter of that, what is left? Really, I mean, there's people that love what they do. I have no problem with that. But how about the rest of the people? Are there opportunities for people to be more engaged in what they're doing, to be truly fulfilled in what they're doing, to be able to generate money and to be able to generate money for the market? There's no problem with that, obviously. I'm talking about generating money for the market, but I'm talking about generating money for the market for the benefit of the stakeholder as much as for the owner and the shareholder. That's what I'm talking about. And for the more or less the overall collective of what are we doing for society? Not in a Marxist doctrine way, but in a way that you explore the full potential of labor and what it can bring to the systems of business and government, so that we're not sacrificing the capabilities of the individual. And you're not sacrificing the system either, because that's the thing that I've been battling with what I've been reading and researching, is that we don't want to overturn, that's my own personal opinion, is that we don't want to overturn systems of business. We don't want to overturn systems of government, because that has been explored before and that never works out well. But another thing we don't want to do is have this safety net of what capitalism is bringing currently, and this bureaucratic nightmare of politics that we see in America as well as throughout the world, is that we settle because we want to be protected. We want to be able to make sure that we have our freedoms protected by this veil of bureaucracy. I don't agree with that either. I really don't. And to me, the path forward is over the next decades is to truly explore the ability of the individual to work within systems of business and government, to where they are fully, and at least more than, more fully tapped into with their capabilities and their potential. I have a friend that I work with down in one of our dealerships down in Apache Junction, Ryan, and we were talking about this, and I was talking to him about me working on a potential episode, and it is really difficult to put your arms around the fact of, he was saying that, well, I'm a mechanic, and that's what I do. And so it's up to me to be able to go out and find something else. Well, that is true, but is it, what he was trying to get from me is that, okay, what are these examples of my potential? What are they? And I had to ask him, he's like, you tell me, what are you good at? I mean, that's fine if he wants to be a mechanic and grow and become a really good mechanic. I have no problem with that. I'm not trying to get him out of a job. I'm trying to have a thought experiment for other people to consider about what is it that you are really good at, that you like to do, that could be of value to someone else. And if there's value in that exchange, that could be a monetary exchange, or it could be a barter exchange, or it just could be something where philanthropic, where you feel like about good about exchanging the value of what you offer. So value is well beyond just monetary, in my opinion. I think actually capitalism is focused too much on the monetary value of the exchange, where we put it into dollars and cents. Life is not dollars and cents. It's the value we offer. So one of the things that I feel that I'm discovering at later in life, I've been working on for 20 years, but I'm 56 now, is this value of creating awareness about these ideas that I have. I hope to enrich people with that as we move forward. And maybe these ideas won't even be that relevant until I'm long gone. Who knows? And I don't really care about that. But it is something that I'm exercising as my abilities, my potential. I think I've always been attracted to working on solutions for businesses and processes and breaking down processes and help people and owners realize maybe there are some failings in processes, especially in dealing with humans. And one of the things that I'm doing with the emergence is processes in the overall exchange and making an awareness of that to other people. And so they can add to it, they can discover it, and they can carry it forward. So that's a potential that I've had that early on in my life that I thought was buried until I decided to start writing and start podcasting and talking about it and really starting to engage and to hopefully in the future build tools to help make this reality. That was a potential. That was a potential, a hidden potential of mine that I decided at one point to where I just had to start doing it. And I've never felt better. I just love the fact that I've been able to discover this and that I'm able to share this and invite other people into this. So what is your potential? What are things that you have that you would offer, that you're really good at, that you've never had an opportunity come knock on your door? There's the deal. Is everybody says pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's the tenets of the free market. All right, not everybody has the same strength in their arms is the problem. And that is a significant piece of the free market that we need to have an understanding that socialism can, likes to address the fact of, making an equality amongst everyone so everybody has the same strength in their arms. On the right-hand side, it's more the fact of just the potential is there or the opportunity is there, so just do it. My thing is there's a middle ground. There's elements of both sides on the left and the right that you can take to exercise this. But the core part of the emergence is that we all have different strengths in our arms. And so what is the solution is creating better reach for us to reach to opportunities that normally wouldn't traditionally exist that could then fit in with our own limitations to allow us to then be a part of that. So if you're disabled and you don't have use of your arms or your legs, are there opportunities where you can use your mind? And if there's not opportunities that are just next door, are there opportunities on the other side of the world and that you might possess a particular skill set that really dives in and speaks to a need that is somewhere? And you could say that, just Google and go on monsters.com and find an opportunity. I was a recruiter for 10 years. I'm telling you, it does not work that way. I've worked in teams of recruiters, and I've worked for the largest corporations, some of the largest corporations, Fortune 500 corporations, and it is not built that way. The exchange of labor is not built that way. It's not built to look for your, to find what the provider has to fit in and to explore your weaknesses. It's only to explore your strengths. That's what the market is. That's what the free market is. It's to explore your strengths. So if you're strong and you lived a crappy childhood and you've overcome it and you're able to claw yourself up and you're strong, then the market's there for you and you're great. You're bootstraps because you found a way to make your arm stronger. Well, that's the problem is that does not exist with everyone. And that doesn't. So the market is built for the strong. And I think that we could, through technology and through discovery, not just through technology, because one of the things I'm really been exploring with is cybernetics and the fact of how systems work with variables and feedback. And one of the things that I think are incredibly important is the feedback of the components of the system, or the people, the workers, the consumers. So, try to create technology just to answer all these problems is we're probably going to end up where we were. My thing is, we need to really talk about these things. We need to really discover what are our potentials. We need to have a way to really express these things so that technology can build a framework to answer this, not just from somebody in their basement that's coding. I'm talking about more of a collaborative effort, maybe from the community side, to really dig in and find out how we can tap into the individual's potential to serve the systems of business and government more effectively so that the systems thrive and the individual thrives. Right now, there's governors and systems, the administrators, the bureaucratic layer, managers, VPs, presidents, CEOs, that I believe are can be the barriers to our potential. The hiring managers, I've faced this as a recruiter, of the administrators in front of the hiring managers that are looking at resumes and turning them down because you had 6 months gap in your employment. One of the most ridiculous things I've ever witnessed in my life, and one of the reasons why I'm out of recruiting, because it was such an incredible shell game to me. Some of my best recruits, placements were unconventional, and these people making a lot of money, and hiring managers did not want to hire these people, but I had to dig in and to find the value in the individual, and then have a conversation with the hiring manager to express that value to make that relationship. Now, can automation more or less do that as well? I believe so. There's a lady that I've been following lately. Her name is Vivian Ming, M-I-N-G, with SoCoast Labs. And I was listening to a podcast of hers where a company that she was a lead scientist on called Guild, and talking about what they did is that with a recruiting algorithm, AI, artificial intelligence, that was able to predict the capabilities of a candidate and be able to, based on their resume and based on their profile and based on their interactions on social, they were able to come up with more of an algorithm that was truly able to align them with potential employers. And she said something that really resonated with me. She said that the people who engaged with it, the recruiters, did phenomenal, but the vast majority of recruiters defaulted to traditional looking at resumes and putting it into the administrators so the administrators could go with the hiring managers. And I find that is hilarious because it is true. I've worked for agencies and I work directly with corporations as a consultant, and that's where we are. And, she had made a reference to something that was so incredibly powerful to me. She talked about the tools that she builds more or less is broccoli, and as opposed to brownies. So, as you're a recruiter, you're just looking for, you want to make a dollar. Do you really care about the value of aligning talent with a provider, with an employer? You want to get the brownies made. You want to feel good. You want to taste the sweet taste of success, where these algorithms and these sophisticated algorithms that are really digging deep into human potential are broccoli. So her point was that she needs to make tools to make broccoli taste better. And really that is kind of where we are. And my point is the fact of to be able to create these systems though, and she had mentioned this as well, is that it needs to be built off of the feedback of we bring into the system. So we need to have conversations about what this potential is, who we are, and how we can build these frameworks to align with employers. And what she built with Guild, I've been trying to research that. I'd like to find more about it. Those are the things that we need to build. Those are the things that we need to do to where if somebody can make $10 a day exchanging something in Indonesia or in Nebraska with something that they can do and they're fulfilled when they do it, and maybe they go to their regular job, and they found something that really they are passionate about. I don't care if it's weaving a basket or if it's singing a song, but if there was something to where they are fulfilled when somebody buys something from them or exchanges something or somebody feels better about what they provided to the other person, that's validation. That's validation that can help you then internally grow individually and then move to that next layer. And maybe that person who's weaving a basket in a unique way that somebody in Indonesia really likes, maybe that's something that grows and that they discover a new skill that they had no idea existed. It was something that was an internal, but because of that exchange, opened it up outside of traditional silos, they were able to explore it, be validated by it, and grow it. And maybe that person, then that's what they do. And there's all these things that can be done. What is it that resides within you? I mean, I've got an example for myself. One of the things, I'm a marketing director at work, and I help with information systems, and I help with a sales department. I work directly with the owners. One thing that I've been doing lately is that I've been washing our side-by-side units, utility vehicles, in the morning. I don't do it all the time. There's a couple reasons why I did it. One was to show the sales team and to lead by example that I can get out there, because the units were dirty in the morning and I hated seeing it and people weren't doing it. So, you know, I'm going to get out there and do it. And I found myself that I like the labor. I've always liked a little bit of physical labor. Now, do I want to go out there and work 50 hours a week washing units? No. I go out there and spend about an hour in the morning every other, you know, 3-4 days. And for a while there, the heat of summer, I was doing it every day, sweating my ass off. But, you know, sometimes I like labor. I like the sweat. I like the feeling of being engaged with something. So, you know, some people just like to do labor. You know, some people like to work on engines. Some people like to just get dirty. All right. So if a person was really good about working on BMW engines, okay, and can their knowledge be provided somewhere else other than what the local market is going to have for them to work on BMW engines, is especially in the future, could their knowledge be used for virtual reality augmentations to where, you know, they could help in mapping out how to debug an engine in a unique way that a piece of virtual reality software could use for other people to use. Or they could be the one to give the demonstration for teaching. The way we think about it, if you really like to fix BMW engines, is your only path in the future. You know, that's something that drives you. You're passionate about it. You love it. You love to get dirty and you love to think about these things. Is the only path what's physically going to be available to you to work on an engine at a local car dealership or motorcycle dealership for BMWs? Is that the path? And is that really the best expression of labor? I really don't feel it is, because it's when you limit these things to only the locality, the chances of something that's going to fulfill your true potential are going to be muted. It's just the way that it is. Now, I love working for your local. There's no problem with that. And maybe you can supplement it. I don't know. But I always say this, is that what are the chances of the things that are most inspiring to you are going to be your next door neighbor, are going to be next door to you? It's not the way that it works. And the problem is this connection that we have today, this connection that we see currently, is highly driven by the provider. It's highly driven by the provider of the services, the provision of the services, as opposed to the provision of the labor. So a lot of these controls and the flow of information, the flow of labor, are highly centralized. Now, if we could build these tools that are going outside these systems of control, conventional labor modes, I think that is the sweet spot. And I think that's incredibly necessary, because we need to find these skill sets that we have that robots can't replace. That is it. That is the core of the entire government argument of discovering our human potential, is being able to go out there to where we can make a living and we can feel good about what we've done and the way that we have done it for the betterment of ourselves, our communities, and society in general. And what is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? And I think it starts with a dialogue, like I'm starting here. I'd like to have future episodes to talk to people about these things. And really, I'd love to have Vivian Ming on someday and really talk to her and do a deep dive on that. And really start the conversation and start to find out where these ideas are coming from. Listen to people and how they would describe it. You know, I'd love to just sit down on an episode and talk to somebody, describe what their potential is, and really dig deep. And then invite people to build technology around this feedback. That is the future. That is the emergence. That is being able to harness the potential of our labor to work within systems more effectively to help validate ourselves as well as validate the communities around us. And it's this from bottom-up approach that the emergence really speaks to. And I think that's going to be a valuable piece of the future. I'm hoping it is. And that's what I'm going to fight for. That's one of the elements that that I'm working on. And the emergence, it's not the only thing, but it's definitely a one core piece of this, is a major piece of this, is exploring human potential. And finally, it's not only about the money that you make. Your potential could be on the fact of helping someone else that you're validated. Maybe you part of your time is finding that one thing, whether it's animals, helping animals, and finding, you know, working for a shelter, that this shelter or this virtual shelter, whatever it is, that really speaks to who you are as a human being, where you don't feel like you're just there as a widget. You feel like you're there, that they are tapping into who you are as an individual and what you can bring to the table. And whether you're helping a homeless person in your community, whether you travel around and you find people to help, animals, the environment, or businesses. There's a lot of people where you go and help, you know, on the things you've learned, you help other small businesses that really revs you up. You know, the Small Business Association does a lot of that, you know, but I've been on the SBA site and I'm telling you, they could use some of these more advanced tools. You know, that's the thing, is that we need to build these tools that are going to harness these capabilities, harness our human potential, so that we can, first of all, not be replaced by robots, because I tell you, people, that is coming. Yeah, that's going to be a wake-up call in the next 10 to 15 years. It really is. We're going to be amazed at how many things are going to be replaced. So we're going to have to find these things to where we can make a living and be validated and be a part of the community, because we're always going to need to work. People want to work. This whole thing, I agree to some degree with the UBI, Universal Basic Income, but people want to work. You know, they want to exchange value. So if the government gives you a minimum amount of income to survive, I've had this argument with a couple of people. I think that we should have some exchange for that money. We should not just be given the money. And if we don't have access to our limbs, our legs and our arms, then we find ways to harness our minds, and that can actually, we can get the money in exchange for what we offer at a very resonant level. So, and I do think that we might have to have some kind of UBI in the future, but my argument is it's got to be attached to something, because people want to work. I'm telling you. I mean, there's a percentage of people that don't, but don't be misled about that. I truly believe that if people were tapped into their own individual potential, they have no problem working. And as long as it works around with some of their weaknesses, again, the market right now focuses on strengths. Why we should build a market that focuses on weaknesses and be able to bring things into them, so it can adjust to their weaknesses so that we can rise up. We can bring people into the market as opposed to more or less holding them down by just focusing on the strong. We need to focus on the weak. I don't know why that's such a hard concept. But that's it. And more or less in a nutshell, the episode, of exploring human potential. So, I'm sitting here by the stream watching the ducks feed in the stream here. And, it's the flow, people. It's the flow. And let's work on getting those barriers out and letting the flow of our human potential find its way into the systems of business and government. All right. Well, thank you very much. And I'll see you on the next episode.